Hey guys, welcome back to the Captain's Log, Amy Novakovic.
Yay!
Did I do it?
Oh, you did!
That's the hardest part of my whole interview. I would say the day, but I've already crashed a car, so that's... Let me put the automatic driving on, so there we go. Yeah.
Don't hit anybody in this small park.
We have rain today. What the heck? Rain in March? Is it already going to be a rainy season
for
us?
And it's all day. I mean, this has been all morning, all day. Even my kids were like, do I need a jacket? Like, what's a jacket in March?
I usually always wear my sunglasses. This might be the first...
You don't have to wear them.
Captain's Log without shades
on. I always wear my sunglasses, too.
And I pretty much wear them all
day. Don't hit this curve.
Yeah, what is this
weird
thing?
See the hot yellow? Okay, so there's like bright yellow on our curbs, and people still like go up over that middle thing.
That is a weird curve right there, though.
But it is painted with bright yellow paint.
I hit one curb already today in the brand new Fisker Kama. I had it for less than 24 hours.
I'm going to share this out.
And I basically pulled the bumper off, so I'm not driving it till the end of the week.
We didn't even know if we were going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So this is all new turf for me.
There we go.
This is Bonita Beach Road. We're in Bonita Springs, guys.
So you wanna where do you wanna go?
This is Bonita Beach Road,
right? Bonita Beach Road.
Yeah, so we can go right.
You're gonna go on 41?
Yeah.
Why don't you go down Vanderbilt Drive? Because there's no traffic.
I don't wanna drive where there's no reception.
Oh.
I have to keep these people happy.
Okay. No reception just because we're in Bonita?
Yes. It's horrible.
Okay.
It's horrible.
This is like Bonita doesn't really go up to Fort Myers that often, and Naples people never go to Bonita.
No, they don't.
No,
what is
they
up
do
with
not.
That?
They don't.
I
they
can
don't.
Tell you
like
for
any
a fact,
of my Naples clients, I
don't.
Have to go to them in Naples.
I know they don't, because when I had the theater in Bonita,
yeah.
Literally nobody from Naples would go. They would only go to my club in Naples.
Oh,
and I'm like,
I'm telling
it's
you.
3 miles down the road.
It's a thing. But like the same thing with me. I'm kind of guilty of it with Fort Myers. Fort Myers. Like whenever I've been down there, downtown, I love Fort Myers. But I just never go.
So interesting enough, I had a club in Marco Island. And when I had Off the Hook Comedy Club in Marco Island.
Yes, I've been
a
there.
A huge amount of people from Fort Myers went to that club. When I opened in Naples,
now all of a sudden they don't go.
Less people from Fort Myers come, and all of the people in Naples come.
Hey guys.
I guess they just like to drive further and not closer. I don't get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Hey Jeff, Kelsey, Ida, what's going on? Hey, we're live in Bonita Springs. We're driving down Bonita Beach Road.
In the rain.
And Amy is you manage wealth management for athletes and things.
I do.
All right. So tell me what, what's the best part of the job, first of all?
Oh, that's a great question.
It is? I just pulled that one out of my
Do you know what?
Nowhere.
The best part, it's funny that you asked that because we're coming out of the market was really, really bad in December. The best part is when you get to take advantage of something like that and make a ton of money. And it's really rewarding. Like here we sit, 9-10 weeks later and it's like, you came out of it and you totally forget about it because you took advantage of it and made it.
And because you bought when everything dipped?
Not just, yeah.
You gotta have really big ones though to do that, no?
No, you gotta take the emotion out of money is what you have to
do. Oh, you just gotta say, look, all right, I know it's
gonna
come
back up. Yeah,
not
be emotional, be like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
The market is crashing, get everything out. Like you just have to not do that.
Yeah, and you do the same with your money or just your client's money?
I did, I bought a long call for those of you that know what options are. And this is not a recommendation, just speaking friends here.
Yeah, this is just what you did.
Yes, I bought a long call for my money on Amazon, Boeing, and just the market.
And Boeing, how did that do? Not so well.
Oh my gosh, since December it's been flying.
But what about now with the crashes?
Just the last week, but I already took gains by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long do you stay in?
Well, these are long calls, so they're out 2 years.
Okay.
So I'll usually stay in.
But why'd you get out already?
Because it ran up 120% in 2 months.
Because they
so I'm not greedy.
Because they released their new plane.
Well,
right? Or they got so many orders.
I think just coming out of it went down way too much in December.
Okay.
So it was just way oversold. Somebody says, hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up, Ida?
So they're just way oversold. So it's just when you take an opportunity like that for a company that, yes, has all this positive press and are the greatest financials, a great business model, like they're the biggest airline. I mean, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So you just take advantage of that and you buy. And I did a long call to just try to amplify the gain. And it was 120% in 8 weeks. And so you just take gains. I'm not saying I sold it all, but I think half.
And then what about Amazon?
Amazon's okay. So Amazon, I've already been in and out of twice. So Amazon went way up. I sold it, took gains.
You keep saying long holds, but these are already in and out.
No. I said long calls, like long expiration.
Okay.
So I would have the option, I would have the ability to hold it a long term if I wanted to.
Is that,
but if they make a ton of money, I'm going to take the money off the table.
A long call, is that something that you use in your mind? Or is it actually a part of the purchase that you say, I want to make a long call, and that changes the price?
No, it changes the price. So there's an expiration date on it. Yes. There's an expiration date on it. So you can do like out a month. You could do out a week. You could do out a year or 2 years. And I did out 2 years.
You did.
And then you pay more money to go out further. So
okay.
It's more expensive. So you're buying time.
So you're paying, if it's 10 bucks and you do a long call, how much is it costing?
Oh, geez. Totally depends.
No, 12. Is it 12 or is it like $10.50?
It depends on the price. It depends on the stock. It depends on the movement, the volume. It depends on a whole bunch of different things. But typically, like, so if you're really close to expiration, typically, yes. If it's almost like
Andy
she's doing
says
sign language.
You're doing
sorry.
Sign language.
Sorry.
Hi,
oh,
yeah,
hi, Andy.
Yeah.
I know Andy. Hi, Andy. Okay, I'll stop. I'm a mom. What do you expect? Like, I'm
yeah,
like,
she's
oh,
got it. She's bringing it.
You know?
She's got to talk with emotion.
It's hot in here.
It's
hot.
Sorry.
He's trying to make me sweat so I glow.
I just wanted people to realize how hard you're working.
Yes. So, if you're close to expiration and there's no time,
okay.
Let's say your strike is $10, like the strike is where you can buy it.
Yes.
And it's trading at $12, the premium is usually like $2. You know, it's like, it's right on because you're
right.
Not buying any time.
Right.
But the further out time that you go, it's more and more expensive. So if you go out a month, it might be $12.50. If you go out 6 months, it might be
$3. So why would somebody pay more for buying it in a longer term?
Because just more can happen. Don't stop it. It'll mess up your flow. I probably won't stop it anyways, quite frankly. I mean, I can try. But it will allow you, like with Amazon, for instance, it could spike in a week. But it might not. It's more likely to spike in 3 months.
Okay.
Like, you're just more likely to get the result that you want if you give yourself more time.
Right. But what if you just... Okay, so my question would be, if it's 10 bucks today and it's trading at 10 bucks, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can I just buy it at 10 bucks and sell it whenever I want?
Of course, you
so
could.
So then why would
you're
I pay
$12? You're not going to make as much money because... Well, you wouldn't pay $12. You'd pay $2, A. B...
Wait, $2?
Yeah. So options are way less expensive.
Gotcha.
And
that's
they
what,
move
that's what
way
they need
faster.
To know.
So like Boeing, for instance. So like Boeing, if you would have just bought the stock in December, you'd have been up like, oh shoot, I don't know the exact number. If my husband is on, he would know the exact number. Beth asked my husband what Boeing
just
is
say
up $10.
Just say $10.
Say it's 10%. Numbers. Well, we'll use 10%.
Okay.
So let's say it's up 10%. The option might be up 50.
Right.
So it's just way amplified. It's way, way more.
And so you always
it's also
trade
more risky.
In options.
I don't always trade in options. That's just what I did for myself. Personally, you asked me what I did for myself.
Okay. Well, I need to scoop. You know,
I did some of this we did some of this for clients too, but that understands options.
So what client hates you for losing all their money? What client loves you for making so many millions? Not names, but obviously.
Yeah.
You've had over the years some huge wins and some maybe some losses.
Well, the losses, like nobody likes to hear, for instance, when the market goes down 20 and I call them, I'm like, look, you only went down 8. Like,
that's a win.
That's a great
that's
job.
A win.
But somebody out there
thinks that you should still be making money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
which
happens.
Would be
and then
everybody
usually,
who has money would think that.
Obviously. But then my answer is, quite honestly, I'm like, then you shouldn't be in the market.
Right.
Like, the market's going to go up and the market's going to go down. We're going to take advantage of it and we're going to buffer your downside. Yeah. But then you should not be in the market.
And so how long should,
so then you should
somebody
go.
Work with you? How long is it typically do you ask them to be your client? Obviously forever. But
obviously
what is
forever.
Like, you don't want them to jump in and out, right? I mean,
no.
Because you're never going to make any money.
Well, you're going to lose twice. You have to be right twice. So if you hop out, okay, you have to be right on when you hopped out, and then you have to be right on when you get back in.
Right.
So now you just
otherwise
lessen
you gotta do
your
something
odds of
else
being
with
successful, because now you have to be right twice instead of being right once.
Yeah.
So you just lessen the odds of making money. So don't do that thing where you hop out, hop in, hop out, hop in. Try if you cannot take the emotion out of your money. I'm talking with my hands. Damn it.
That's okay.
If
we like
it.
You
cannot be emotional with your money, then hire somebody to do it. That's why we have a job. That's why
right.
we even exist.
Yeah, well, it's not recommended to people. Everybody thinks they can do this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they all lost money in, like, 2005, 6, and 7.
2008, yeah.
Yeah, right? Going up to 2008. Yes. Yeah. And then they all jumped back and started using you. Because you're a professional. Right. Like, come on. It's not like...
right.
It's like people saying that they're going to go pick comedians and figure out which ones are going to be
there
popular.
There you go.
And sell
or they're going to be the comedian themselves.
Right,
like,
yeah,
I'm
not
going
to
be the comedian. No, not going to happen.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like... We also add value, not just in the trading aspect, but there's people that don't want a lot of stock. So then it's like, what else do I buy? Do I buy CDs? Do I buy bonds? Do I buy gold? Do I buy managed futures?
What are you buying right now? What is your move?
We're doing a lot of U.S. equities. Like, we believe in the U.S. market right now. So we are buying a lot of U.S. equities and floating rate bonds. So floating rate bonds are the type of bond. I don't want to bore people here.
No, but you are, because no one knows. But I'm learning.
Right,
this is about me today, guys. I'm learning how to do this. Sorry.
So... typical bonds, like everybody since like the 1980s is like, oh, when you become closer and closer to retirement, just own more bonds and they're safer. But when interest rates rise, they're not safer. Bonds go down when interest rates rise, because let's just illustrate this example real quick. If you're earning 4%,
yep.
Right? And interest rates in
is
general...
Is 4% a good number?
Well, you tell me. If a bank
No,
account,
I'm not going to be happy with 4%.
Right.
Not at all.
So now imagine if new interest rates, if new bonds are going out for like 7-8%, now your 4% looks really bad. So the price goes down.
Right.
So it gets worse as interest rates go up. So prices of bonds go down unless you are the one making money on the interest rates going up. So then you need a floating rate bond. So you make money when interest rates go up because your interest rate increases and people have a demand for your bond because they're like, I want an increasing interest rate.
Right.
I don't want the fixed stuff. I want an increasing.
Well, what happens when the interest rates go down and you have a floating
rate?
Okay,
so then you don't want to be in floating rate bonds.
Because then your money's going down with it.
Yeah, right. So it's only an asset class that you want to be in while interest rates are rising or stagnant.
Yeah.
Like right now, they're kind of like standing still.
So like average portfolio is what? 10% cash. What do you do? What is your
Average portfolio? Definitely 5-10% cash, because you have to have some cash for buying opportunities, no matter what it is.
Yep.
I've done less and less of gold the last like 10 years. Gold has barely moved, but gold is just a responsible piece to have, like, a little bit. These people get crazy about gold, like, you know, like you'll see the commercials when gold starts to go up, like, buy gold, trade in your gold.
Yeah, people see that, right?
You know,
that's
like
nothing.
Gold doesn't pay a dividend.
Right.
Gold is not liquid. The only way it's liquid is if you buy the ETF or exchange traded fund, which
it's
is like
too much for me.
Okay. All that means is you're not holding the physical gold, you're just trading the price.
Right, okay.
Okay, so let's simplify it. So if you buy where you're just trading the price, you don't physically hold the gold and you don't physically need a vault to hold your gold.
Right.
But you can get in and out of the price of gold. So that's what we do. Is we add in a little bit of that. And then a little bit of some real estate assets. A little bit, depending on how risky you want to be, or depending on what age you are, depending on how much cash you have outside of this portfolio.
How much cash does somebody have to have before they contact you to use your service?
That's a good question. So there's two types of people. There's people that have a lump sum. So we would say at least $250,000.
Right.
But then there's also people that have nothing, but they're successful. Like, they have a ton of income. You would be shocked, or maybe you wouldn't. But people that make a ton of money, but don't save it.
Yeah.
So if you come to me and you make a great income, but you don't have any money because you haven't saved it, my requirement to you is that you put away a monthly amount.
So you just
so you
take,
can start with me with zero, but you better be putting away $3,000 a month or whatever.
Right.
Whatever the number is, depending on your income.
And so how do you come up with that number?
Planning. So just here's your income, here's your expenses, here's your assets, here's your liabilities. Let's come up with a number that you're comfortable with. And a lot of times I'll start high because they don't even notice it's gone.
Right.
It's just spent. I always say, like, don't make your money forgettable. Make it memorable. Like, how
many
times...
I should do that myself.
Right?
Yeah.
So you wake up one day and you're like, where the hell did that money go?
Right.
Or, like, people get a tax return and they're like, oh, it's money. Dude, that's your money. That is your money.
The same money that you
made. That's the same money. Yeah,
right?
That's not money, like, from the government. They're not giving it to you because they're nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That is money that you made. Yeah, so don't just go blow it.
What's the best thing to do with my tax return when I get it back?
Oh my gosh, 100% invest it. I mean, if you...
yeah,
in
right
something,
away?
I'm not saying recommendations. Like, when I say invest, I don't mean just go buy stock.
Why are we so yellow? We're orangey.
We are.
I don't know.
And we're kind of like highlighter.
I know, it's because
there's
the,
light.
Like,
oh, it's because
the
of the clouds.
Yeah, the cloud and the rain.
Yeah.
Let's see. I gotta talk to the camera guy. He's killing me.
Oh, there.
How about that?
Oh, that's much better.
Much better,
now
right?
Now we don't look like we're highlighted.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right. Yeah, that is nice. It's more subdued.
So we get the tax return back.
I mean, at least put it away. Like, you should always have an emergency fund because, like, you know how you wrecked your car this morning?
Yeah.
Brian wrecked his car this morning.
Appreciate that. Not my car. It's actually a promo car that they gave me to drive.
Oh, thanks.
And I had
it
less than 24 hours, and I crashed. But I didn't crash like crash. I just
pulled over a curve.
No, clearly not. Not after today's driving record.
No.
I'm 0 for 1. I'm terrible.
Yikes.
I got in the car, pulled over a curb, but it was a puddle, so I didn't see the curb.
Okay, but if it's a puddle, you know it's a puddle, and you can't see it.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that the car is like an inch off the ground because I've been driving an SUV for the past 15
minutes.
I'm not
safe, guys.
So, boom, pulled over it, and then the worst part was the backup. On the backup, I went, boom, almost lost the whole front.
That's
cool. You know, brand new. You know, there's only 350 of them in the world, and I happen to crash one of them today. Yes, thank you.
So, money out of your pocket? Yes,
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. We're working it out. Because it was straight from the company, like the corporate headquarters, Fisker. They gave me the car to promo for the captain's log and drive around. And, you know, people were like, by the way, people stare, like, at that car beyond belief. It was crazy.
Break.
Oh, the car is good. We're good. I didn't crash like a crash dummy. I just pulled over. I overestimated how long the nose of that exotic vehicle was.
Okay.
It wasn't like I was driving like that.
All right.
I crashed.
So
I have a very good, I'm a captain. I have a good driving record.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Okay.
Jeez. I'm scaring her. Keep telling me about money. It's the best
thing. Okay. So we're talking about emergency funds. So like life happens. Like there's not a lot of things that we can control in life.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I am 100% certain. So I can't guarantee like what you're going to make on your investments.
This is your sales pitch. Here it comes.
This isn't my sales pitch.
Yes,
no, I'm telling
people
to save for an emergency fund.
All right. Okay. Let's go.
Okay, but I do know with 100% certainty that life will happen. Like tomorrow, something is going to happen that costs money. Like something.
Correct.
Your kids hurt themselves, or you wreck a freaking car, or something happens with your house, or you know, you come home, you have a leak, whatever. Whatever it is, something comes up, right? So why not put money away for something that I am 100% certain going to need money at some point? Because what happens is people don't prepare for that.
Yeah.
And then they blame the fact that they don't have money.
Right.
On, well, this just happened and this just happened. It's like, guys, I knew something was going to, like, I don't know what, but something that costs money is going to happen.
Well,
so it is not that event's fault. It's your fault for not saving for something that we know is going to happen.
What's the best saving tip? Because I'm a terrible saver.
Do it automatic. Set it up like it's an expense. So you automatically set it up an automatic deduction to go either into a savings account.
Oh,
and that's
not
a sales pitch because I don't work in a bank.
Just pull it right out without even thinking about it.
It's like an
expense.
Like
all the other bills, they just come out.
It just comes out automatically.
That's a good thing to do.
Absolutely. So you can set it up directly to an investment account.
Yeah.
You can set it up directly to a savings account. You can have it automatically go wherever you want. And it's not an expense, but you feel like it's an expense. It's just repositioning your money from one place to another.
Yeah.
But it's repositioning it into a place where you don't necessarily have access.
Right.
You can restrict access if
like
you
if
want.
I have, I my money seems to catch on fire. Why? Like I'm a risk taker.
You're not the only one.
The more I make, the more I spend. It doesn't matter.
Oh man.
How much
that
I could make.
That happens so much.
Yeah,
Are you kidding me? I work with athletes.
I'm pretty much
it's
in that
like,
boat.
If only you could survive on $18 million a year.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't matter tomorrow how much I make. The next day, I seem to figure out a way to spend it even more. And
so
faster.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to automatically transfer it into an account so that you don't spend it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only
way.
I do that.
But I should transfer more because if it's in my pocket, it catches on fire.
Yeah, and what don't you want to save on taxes? Like, do some tax planning, you know what I mean? Like, so you can, if you're a business owner, for any business owner out there, you don't have to do just a piddly little $5,500, or actually this year it's $6,000, into an IRA. If you do your own 401k or your own even cash balance plan, you can put away up to $200,000.
What about like a Roth IRA or a SEP? Are those still good?
So a Roth, you don't get a tax break now.
Right.
So there are, and I won't name any names, but there are some educational programs out there that say, always Roth, always do a Roth. That's wrong. Because what happens is you don't take a tax deduction. If you're making a lot of money now, you're foregoing a tax deduction when you need it.
Yes.
You need it. And then your money's going to come out tax-free when you're retired, when you're not making any money. So it's like, yay, my money comes out, I don't owe any taxes. It's like, you might not have owed any taxes anyways because your tax bracket is a lot lower. So depending on how your income is structured does not mean you always do a Roth.
Okay.
Because if you need a tax deduction now, you should freaking take the tax deduction now.
Right.
Because a Roth tax-free later might not help you at all. Because,
right, you may not have
a big tax bracket.
An income, right?
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
And if
sense.
You plan right, you know, you won't.
Okay.
So then a SEP is that's an employer plan. That's a simplified employer plan. So okay. You can put up to $56,000 into a SEP or 25% of your income. So you can call.
Hey Lori, how are you?
I like how my face was like frozen when you had that phone call.
Just for a second though, Facebook
Good.
Actually will
it
cut
keeps
that.
Going. Oh yes. Really?
Yeah, they do. They actually will do it.
Thanks, Facebook.
The delay will be different.
Nice. So a SEP is a tax deduction and it's great for your business because you can get more, much more. A Roth and a regular IRA, you get $6,000.
Right.
So if you're under 50. So a SEP, you can do a lot more and get a lot bigger tax deduction. So let me just do some numbers real quick for those of you who are like, but what kind of a tax deduction, like $200? No, so if you put away, let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket, and let's say you can put away
$50,000. How much
does that mean you make? Oh, good question. Depends on your deductions. I'd have to look up the brackets. I don't have them memorized. But I'd say maybe 80 grand,
okay.
100 grand.
Jason Hanlon, what's up, buddy?
Then
we're learning how to make... and save and make a lot of wealth. Like the celebrities and the athletes that Amy takes care of.
Keep money from the government.
Yes, and not give it to the government.
I'm going to get an IRS audit this year from saying that.
I've already got it.
Oh, well.
So maybe they're going to get me first again.
Because we're saying IRS, avoid giving money to the government. Keep it in your own pocket. So the SEP, so if you make, well, so you can do 25% of your income. So let's pretend you're making a lot more, but your net is you're in the 25% bracket. This is just for illustrative purposes.
Correct.
Really. So you put away $10,000 into a
yep.
SEP. Let's say that was 25%
for
or that
year.
Was for the year.
Yep.
That's what you could afford. That's what cash you had laying around.
Okay.
You save $2,500 in taxes. So net
that's
out of your
good.
Pocket, it's really only $7,500.
Right.
But you got $10,000 to go into an investment account. Then money that you should have paid on money that you make on that 10 grand. So let's say you double that 10 grand in the investment account.
Right.
Okay. Your 10 grand grows to 20 grand. You should have owed $10,000 roughly in capital gains tax, which is another 15%.
Right.
You not only don't owe those taxes, but now you're going to earn money on that money. So it's triple compounding and you save the $2,500 in taxes.
Well, that's so then you're making double your money.
That's right. Well, eventually over time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
depending
that.
On what you invest in. So all these little planning tools, like this is such, it's so easy. It's just people don't take the time because you know what I hear all the time? I hear this. And I just did an Instagram video about this the other day. I hear all the time, I'm just bad with money.
Yeah.
I'm just not good with money. And it's like, that is, it's
I'm
not a,
risk,
a talent.
I'm a risk taker though.
But it is not a talent. Like, oh, I can't sing. Or, oh, I
yeah.
can't play basketball. Like, it's not a freaking talent. Like, you either pay attention to your money or you don't. It's that
That's
simple.
That's true. I like
so
that.
So don't say, oh, I'm bad with money. No, you. What you're saying is you don't care if you make more money or lose money or save on taxes.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
That's what you're saying.
You have to at least care a little bit.
And being...
Just to surround
more,
yourself.
If you're, if you like to take risks with money...
But so what do you define as a risk, though?
I
because
mean,
I
if I wake up tomorrow and I decide I have an idea and I want to start a new business, I just do it.
Okay.
Like, without
and you don't
even...
plan it out?
No. I've had like 10 wins. I did have a big loss, though, I got to tell you. I didn't think I was going to have
you were
a
immune.
Loss. I didn't plan on having a loss, but it hit me pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that wasn't actually the plan. The plan
Whoa.
Never means that I lose. It's always that I win. So I have
well,
a plan.
Well, that's a good plan.
It's
right?
that I go in freaking full speed and hopefully it works out.
So that is a risk, but it could be a very calculated risk if you just did a little planning. Like even just 1 hour. Like
yeah.
1 hour.
You sitting down with you for an hour?
Sitting down for an hour just to plan out, map out the business. So like I had somebody come
but
to me.
But what if you don't know about the business? Like one time.
It doesn't matter.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
So I had... Like the day the iPad came
Teenagers.
Out, I invented this iPad mounting system, right?
Okay.
And I went to a patent
Kinda
attorney.
Like this?
Like this, yeah, yeah.
But it's for an iPad.
It was called Mount Me. I started this company. And by the way, I sold more shirts. At the end of the day,
That's like down here, masturbate and tap.
Yeah, I sold more shirts for the company called Mount Me than in the first 6 months than actually the mounts, right? Yeah. But it ended up going well. I did a video on YouTube, 500 video views.
Okay.
And the vice president, Hewlett Packard, came and bought the company.
Mount Me.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So he bought it, right?
So cool.
And we went into partnership. It was great. I don't know where this story's going, but...
You were saying you didn't plan, you just went...
So I didn't plan, but I went...
But you did a little planning because you said you got a patent and you...
No, this is a story. Oh. So I put it on YouTube. All of a sudden, like, get these calls that this guy wants to buy the company or be my partner or invest in it, right?
Yeah.
I had nothing, so I faked it. Kind of faked it till I made it, right?
Okay.
So we got together. He's like, well, where are you at? I was like, well, I'm really just building prototypes. This is it. They just look really cool in my car. So he brought in the capital. I flew to China, did all this stuff. But in the meantime, I went to see a patent attorney.
Okay.
And she tells me, oh, there's nothing you could do with this. There's no patent. It's not worth anything, right?
Okay.
Well, if I had listened to her telling me how to plan and set this whole company up and how to make a patent, I would have made nothing.
So... The professional told you, what was the reasoning?
Because she didn't even know what an iPad was at the time. It was so new. It was so quick. It had just come out, literally. And she knew so little that she gave me such strong advice that literally, you know what I did? I went online and I used LegalZoom. And I got my own I don't want to drop you off yet. Okay. I'm still telling this story.
Okay.
I'm not dropping you off yet.
You've
been talking the whole time. Can I talk
for 5 minutes? Of course, please.
All right. So then I went to LegalZoom, got the pattern myself. I got, I can't think of the name of the patent.
Okay.
The first kind, before they actually, it's the first kind of patent, whatever it is. That's when you go and you, but anyway, that is nothing.
Yes.
But she was telling me that I was wasting my time, that this was all, you know, it doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. She didn't understand. Do you give that kind of advice, or do you give the right advice based on how much you know?
So the advice that I give is...
Because what if someone goes to you with a business plan, you're like, this is garbage.
But, okay, so I will tell you the risks. I will tell you, this is your worst case scenario, this is the risk, this is the potential... Is it worth the risk? So let's map it out and let's say the best way to go to have the highest potential and the best way to go to have the lowest risk.
Okay.
So I'm not telling you necessarily like, no, absolutely don't do this. I'm going to tell you an opinion like, okay, well, the risk to me outweighs the potential.
Okay, let's play the game.
Okay, let's do it.
So I have this new brand, Captain Brian Spirits. I make handcrafted, gluten-free, sugar-free vodka, rum, gin.
Fabulous, I saw that,
it's made here in town.
Great.
This is my business plan. What do I do?
That's the only thing you have. Okay, so what's the cost to produce per unit?
In the $12 range.
And what were you going to sell it for?
Well, here's the problem. That's what it costs. But by the time it hits the street, it's a whole different deal. Because you have the distributor. You have... So by the time it hits the street, exactly, and everybody puts their money on it, I can make... approximately $8 to $12 a bottle.
Okay.
Regardless of the price.
Okay.
So that's because because some of the products are in 30, some of the products are in the 40s.
So it just totally depends on location as well. Are you only selling this locally? Or you're gonna
national.
You're gonna take it national.
I'm selling it throughout the state of Florida right now.
Okay. And so as far as investment wise, so how much capital do you have to outlay if you don't mind me asking?
How
much do you have to outlay between you or investors or whoever to actually like get it started? It's not really raining that hard anymore. Do you mind slowing down your windshield wipers?
Are you one of those people that gets annoyed?
I am. That's like my number one pet peeve.
Say the initial investment was $20K.
Okay. So how long does it take or how many units do you have to sell to make your $20K back?
Well.
Okay, let's calculate it. Ready?
Basically.
So $12 per unit, right? Ish.
Yeah.
So if we have $20,000 divided by 12
bottles.
Units, so you need 1,600. Oh, look at all those sixes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yikes. 1,600, 666.6667. So call it 1,700 bottles to break even.
Right.
So how many bottles do you plan on selling in a day?
Well, that, so that you need me to tell you all this stuff?
Well, yeah, kind of. Because then I'm going to tell you, look, why don't you actually, because so I know like logistics companies that I work yeah. with and I can help you on shipping. So maybe we should ship it this way instead of this way, because let's get down shipping costs. If we feel like this is going to take too long because there's opportunity costs, like let's say it takes 2 months.
Yep.
What else could we be doing for 2 months? So you go through these lines of, okay, well, how do we lessen the cost? How do we lessen the time? So I ask the questions just to try to help lessen everything and make yes. it more profitable. So it's not necessarily, like, that's why I say planning isn't necessarily me just saying, oh, no, don't do it, or yes, this is great.
Right.
It's me saying, well, how do we make it better?
And then with the logistics side of it,
yep.
I mean, you have to take into account, what if somebody, you know, likes the product and all of a sudden starts selling a ton of it? What?
Well, so that's the other thing that I definitely
What if they hate with. The product?
What if they hate the product? So then I tell
how do you know?
How do you cut your loss?
That's what I want to know.
When do you cut your loss?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that if you're not meeting your goals, let's change a couple of things. Let's try a few things. But if a few things don't work, if we've tried kind of everything and we have exhausted different options, then when do you cut your loss?
And what happens if we've over exceeded our expectations?
If you've blown it out of the water and
yeah.
it's awesome.
Yeah, how do you, well, when do you invest more?
Well, then we calculate what the rate of return is. And if you have like a double digit rate of return, you put more money into it.
Because we've already come out now with.
Because you've come out with your double digit rate of
return.
Two
more.
Yeah.
Two wow. more products.
That's great.
I released a gin yesterday and I have a white rum coming out.
Yesterday?
Yeah, I know. It's from Boston. It's a terrible accent. So then when do you stop? Like, when do I stop doing it and be like, okay, I don't know if I should keep doing more?
When you're just constantly going in the negative. Like, so when you invest money and you're making a negative return and we've seen no progress, like you keep hitting these dead walls. And people think, they get emotionally attached to it. So they think, oh, but you know, this is going to work now and this is going to completely turn it around. If you consistently are putting out a product and you're hitting dead ends, instead of coming up with more and more product, if you can't try to take the current business model and change it so that it's profitable, it's dead.
Then cut your loss.
Cut your loss.
How long?
It's
because I know
business,
people keep feeding the dragon, right? They'll just keep putting money in. They fall in love with it. You can't fall in love
That's
with the idea.
That's the thing. That's the emotion piece of it.
Yeah, you can't fall
you
in love with the
fall
idea.
Into it. So
because after a while,
if
it's
you
like,
try. So for instance, with a retail product like this, like if you're trying to sell an actual physical product, if you've tried promotions and you can't even give the thing away for free, you
right.
stop right away.
Yeah. You're done.
You're done.
I always tell people, go to a farmer's market.
And try
and
selling
see
it. And see what the demand
you
is.
Set up a booth.
Ultimately, no matter what product it is, you have to have demand.
Yeah. If you go to a farmer's market and people buy it, that means
Great.
People like it.
Right.
If you go there 2 weeks in a row and you have your finger up your butt and you
yeah.
don't sell anything,
yes.
kill the idea.
Kill it.
Dead.
Yeah,
dead in the water.
See, you're a good business person. So it's like just adding a little bit of finance, like financial planning in there.
Yeah.
Would just probably make your business deals that much more successful, because you're already successful. Like, you know what you see and you know how to cut your losses. So it's really just more of, like I said, like cutting that cost down and seeing, when do I hire an employee? When do I expand? When do I add another line? Like yeah. little things like that, just the timing.
Well, that's what we should talk about.
You know?
That's good stuff. It really is.
You guys say
right,
there and
guys.
Like, oh,
Amy
man.
Has been amazing. Tell them how they can find you, because they might need your services. They want to hook up and make more money and
so we have a Facebook page too that we do a live on every Friday. It's called Finance Friday, and I'm gonna have Brian on that as well. That'll be a ton of fun. And we have a podcast too, the Nova Wealth Show, which is on iTunes. But mainly, so Facebook obviously is Nova Wealth Management, but mainly our website is Nova NOVA wealthmanagement.com.
Well, this has been the Captain's Log. I thank you for joining us. We had a great show.
Yes,
I'm actually going to be live again this afternoon. You're going to get sick of seeing
fun.
Me. I have Dr. Dollar, and we're going to figure out how he's going to tell us how he can cure bad breath for everybody.
What?
Yeah, he's got the sample.
What kind
he's
of a
got,
doctor is he?
He's a men's and women's well-being. Oh. He is a urologist, and he has an amazing practice in Fort Myers, and they do an amazing job of
That's
everything. Yes, like sexual well-being, men's health.
So what
women's
chose,
health.
What determined that you would choose for him to talk about bad breath?
He told me. He's like, we're gonna. You know what he likes to do? We get emails and DMs all day of what people want to hear us
me
talk
too,
about
Andy.
Next. right?
Okay.
So they tell us what they want to learn about.
Yeah.
And then we just basically say, ah, that's boring. This is good. But that might be fun.
That would be super fun.
I don't know. We've done some crazy stuff. We have done some crazy stuff. So this one will be interesting. He says he's going to kiss me, but I told him he can't.
Oh.
I know. It's bad. I don't want to kiss. Bad. He's trying to prove
he's got good
breath.
Now while you're driving.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's a lot.
I got to go, guys. This is getting too much.